us as we go into the Word of God this morning. You know, this is very peculiar, but the Lord did something, I'm going to say to me or with me or whatever, that I've never experienced before. He gave me two messages at once, and it really threw me off track. I've never had that happen. And so I was seeking the Lord on that, wondering, what is going on here? I can't preach, you know, two messages like a double-barrel shotgun, one after the other. But then as He began to lead me in the Scripture, He put it all together, and the two became one. And I've never had such an experience. It's like there's two titles to it, or I don't know. But we're going to call it the Scarlet Thread. The Scarlet Thread. But before we get into the Word, I'd like to one more time just sing that chorus, "Keep On Walking by Faith."
Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith.
One more time. Think about it.
Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith.
Let's give the Lord a hand praise today. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hallelujah. Well, amen. You know, it's more than all right to get excited about what the Lord has done for us. And anyone who has received the Holy Ghost will be excited. Once God has breathed upon you, you have that enthusiasm, that theonoustos, it's a Greek word from which you get the word enthusiasm, theonoustos. And of course, that word literally means God breathed. Remember, He breathed upon His disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And it's a command, isn't it? We are to receive His Spirit. Well, we are going to open our Bibles to the book of Joshua to begin with. Way back in the Old Testament now, the book of Joshua, in chapter 2 is where we will start. Now, I would like to tell you what this is about first, but before I do anything, I'd like to pray one more time, this time, that God will help us with this message and that we'll have ears to hear. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee, O God, for the power of Thy Spirit and for the power of the blood, O Lord, that gives us victory over sin, death, and hell. Now, Lord, give us ears to hear, we pray. O Lord, let a miracle come forth in every heart. Move us, O Lord, I pray. Stir us, O God. And I pray that Thou wouldst help us to receive Thy word with the joy and with the responsibility, giving glory unto Thee, O God, and being responsible to obey it and to keep it. Now, Lord Jesus, lead us by the Holy Ghost. And let Thy perfect will be done. Let Satan be driven out. Let him have no power to hinder. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We are going to look at Joshua chapter 2. And I'll briefly tell you, in order to save a little time, because this gets a little involved, and I trust that God will greatly encourage you in these last days by the power that is manifested in His Word. Folks, I believe the Lord is coming so soon that it, you couldn't even imagine. We try to put it in a framework sometimes. Well, you know, maybe within the next year or two or whatever. We've got to stop doing that. We need to look for Him every day. You know, when I drive down the road, I go past cemeteries sometimes, and I always look and I wonder, oh Lord, could it be right now? Amen. When that last trumpet sounds, all those graves will be opened, that those that are dead in Christ will rise first, the Bible says. And the Bible does tell us this is not a secret rapture, but we will rise to meet Him in the air. We know that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But it happens at the last trump. And there is so much happening. As you know, I'm constantly researching and watching the world and watching the news and reading my Bible and putting it all together. And there are no words to describe the dynamics that are going to work on the inside of me. And sometimes you can read a little of it in the newsletter or hear it preached or taught, but there are amazing, astounding things going on, not occasionally, but every day. In fact, numerous times every day. And I've never seen such a crescendo of the fulfillment of the signs of God in my life. And I've watched this for a long time. I know He's coming soon. I believe it. And He's coming for all of His elect, those that He has chosen. God doesn't forget His elect. Well, you knew you were. You understand that, don't you? That we have not chosen Him. He has chosen us. Now think about that for a minute. Didn't He say that? Ye have not chosen me. I've chosen you. We've got a world full of churches, full of people saying, I'm so glad I chose the Lord. You didn't. If God didn't call you first, you couldn't have answered Him. Are we the called? Are we the chosen or the choosing? It's the Lord that called us. Did we accept Him? Or does the Bible say, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved? And so people generally get it backwards because that's what the devil does. He gets people thinking backwards. It's like the Catholic system. You know, they get everything backwards. Have you ever noticed that? You know, they go in, they have this Ash Wednesday thing a while back. And what did they do? They said, well, this is a time of fasting. The Germans call it Fastenzeit. You know, time for fasting. Lent, in other words. This 40-day period of time, and of course, if you read Ezekiel chapter 8, you will find that this is nothing new because the pagans did this long ago. They spent 40 days weeping for Tammuz, the Babylonian god. And they made a little T on their forehead, a little capital T, with ashes. Nobody would do that nowadays, would they? But they go to church, they get the ashes put on their forehead, get their face dirty. What does the Bible say? Jesus said, when you fast, do not appear unto men to fast, but wash your face. Don't put dirt on it. So he says, everybody, look at me, I gave up chewing gum for 40 days, or whatever they give up, you know, call it a fast. It's pathetic and ridiculous, but in Roman Catholicism, everything is backwards. Now they even have a, you know, these rosary beads that they have, they had those in Babylon. And they had a little T at the bottom for Tammuz. And they let their fingers do the walking around the rosary beads. Did you ever see those prayed? Anybody pray in those? Ever see those? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace. On and on and on. Ad nauseum. Really? They think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But it doesn't work. Now up in the Green Bay Diocese, they've got Green Bay Packer rosary beads. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but it says, Go Packers, right in the beads. You know? Go Packers. And I suppose that's so they can pray that they'll get to the Super Bowl. I don't know what they're thinking. This is craziness. But yeah, they've got Green Bay Packer rosary beads, and I don't know if they got Favre's name on there anywhere. But they've got them, and people will no doubt use them. Well, what I'm going to talk to you about today is something of great urgency and great importance to you because it involves all of us. And we're going to look at what happened way back here in Joshua chapter 2 when Joshua had sent out two spies to Jericho. They went to spy out the land and to spy out the city. It's a very strong city, a city of Jericho. And they got inside the gates, and it was discovered that these two strangers had come in, and word got out, they were Israelites, and they went to the house of one Rahab, a harlot, a prostitute. And it's amazing to me how the Lord works. Have you ever noticed in amazement how God works? Well, they went in, and of course, the king of Jericho was told, we've got two Israelite spies, and they were afraid of Israel. They heard about them. This came out later. How God opened the Red Sea for them. How God worked miracles for them and brought nations down because of them. They had heard about how God led them with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, and a rock followed them with water coming out of it. And that rock was Christ. Oh, they heard about that. Well, the king got excited about it in a negative way. So we've got to find them. Because they came as spies. And Rahab, a bad woman, a naughty woman, was used of God. God touched her heart. I'm telling you, if God wants to do it, He can touch the heart of anybody. And this woman hid these two spies because they came looking for them. And they said, "Where are the two men?" She said, "Well, they went out the gate right before the gate shut. Hurry up, go after them. Maybe you'll find them." And she hid them in the straw and in the flax and so forth that was on the roof of her house. She covered them up. And then, so they could get away free at night, she took a scarlet thread or cord. Now, when I say thread, it's not like a sewing thread. That wouldn't support very much weight. This was a scarlet thread. It was woven, it was braided like a rope. And it was bright scarlet in color. And she lived, her house was situated right on the wall of the city of Jericho. So these two Israelite spies climbed down the scarlet cord to the ground. And then she said to them, I know and we know you're going to take the city. But when you do, remember what I did for you and how I saved your lives. And they said to her, when you see us surround the city and we're coming to take it, take this same scarlet cord, this scarlet thread that you use to let us down to the ground, and hang that out your window so we can see it. And when this city comes down, you and everybody, your whole family, your mother, your father, your sister, your brethren, all that are in with the scarlet cord where that is, they are going to be safe and you'll be all right. In fact, let's read in Joshua chapter 2, going all the way down to verse 18, where the spies told her this, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all of thy father's household home unto thee." Isn't that a great thing? Doesn't that make you feel like you want to go after your children, your grandchildren, your brothers, your sisters, and get them in? Come on, we've got to try. Don't ever write it off and say, they're a tough case, it can't be done. Because you never know how or when the touch of God, the power of His Spirit, will come down and get a hold of their hearts. I've had it happen to me. You know, we get so frustrated sometimes. I don't think we should, but we do. If you're honest, you'll say, "Yeah, I do too." Years ago, one of my brothers-in-law, who just was a character, he was a drinker. He was a card-playing, drinking, pushing God aside type person. And you know, before we ate, he came over on a Sunday one time. He said, "I'm not praying for that food." He said, "I never pray for my food. I earn it. I go out and buy it. God didn't give that to me. I earned it." It's the kind of guy he was. And he got me so upset one time. It was a Sunday early afternoon. And I said, "There is one guy who would never be saved. He will never be saved." And you know what the Lord did? The Lord spoke to me and I heard Him. And He said, "Don't you ever say that again about anybody." And that night, I was sitting in church, and in he walked, uninvited, except by God. And he sat and he listened to the preaching, and the preaching was over. And he came down to the front, got down on his knees, and started reaching out to the Lord. I couldn't believe it. God made a complete monkey out of me. Did you ever have that happen? Anything like that? Where you thought you had it all figured out? And God said, no, I'm going to do it my way, not your way. And the Bible does tell us that. I'll tell you, I've learned a lot of things. Most of what I know, I learned the hard way. And I don't know much, but what I know real good because I learned it the hard way. And I understand the doctrine of the Lord and how we must be faithful to the doctrine of God because He works through His doctrine, His teaching. It is absolute. Man has tried to change it over and over and over. Entire religions have been built around aberrations of doctrine. But we must stay in the book of God. And the Word of God tells us that this harlot, this well-known prostitute who just happened to have a scarlet braided cord, which no doubt was used for advertising purposes, for the red light districts already, haven't you? And God used this vehicle to lower these men down, and then it became a sign of salvation. God changed it all. Really, what it represented was the blood of Jesus Christ in the way that this is applied. And I'll show you how it does that. For you see, from the time that Cain killed Abel, and then God gave them a replacement named Seth, and then on down the line, there was a bloodline from which the Savior would be born, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. When God would become flesh, become a man in the womb of a virgin, and it ended up being a woman named Mary, as we know. But all the way down through history then, there is a scarlet cord, a bloodline of people. And what amazes me, and I'll come to this point in just a moment, is how Rahab fits into this. If you look at what they just said, if you just bring all the people of your household in where the scarlet cord is, you'll be safe as the city falls in flames and destruction. Now, we know, if we go over to Joshua chapter 6, just turn a few pages in your Bible. And you go down in Joshua chapter 6 to verse 22. It says, "But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country." Now remember what they had done. You remember how the city fell? God had Israel march around it. They circumnavigated the city with trumpets, with the Ark of the Covenant. They marched around it once every day. And on the seventh day, they marched around it seven times and then blew the trumpets and down it came. Just think of how it must have been. Here's this woman, Rahab the harlot up there. I believe from the first day she didn't know when it was going to happen. She dropped that scarlet cord down through the window and kept it there. And they're marching around that city every day, looking at the city, and one had one anomaly, one strange thing about it. And that is, in one part of the city, in a house situated on top of the wall, there was a scarlet rope hanging down. And they marched around it seven times. And the seventh day, seven times that one day, and then blew the trumpets. And the Bible says, the city fell down flat. That's when Joshua gave the command to these young men, these spies, in verse 23, and said, "And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she, hear this now, She dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. I'm telling you something, that God always is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That if you do something for God, you will not lose your reward. But notice something here. She's in Israel to this day. How? Go with me now for a moment to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Here in this first book of the New Testament, the first chapter, the first few verses, it says this: "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas," in other words, Judah, "and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar, and Perez begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon." Watch this now. "And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been of the wife Uriah," and so forth, through that bloodline. But you see what happens here? He names father after father after father after father until he comes to Salmon. He mentions the mother. It was Rahab. Rahab is the same name. The harlot. Salmon married this former prostitute, and God brought her into the bloodline, and she became the great-grandmother of David the king, and Jesus is called the Son of David. Also the Son of God. Another woman was named, another mother is named in here. Ruth, a Moabite woman. The Moabites worshiped false gods, did human sacrifice, terrible. But Ruth was saved out of Moab. Rahab was saved out of Jericho. God brought them into the bloodline. And they became an ancestor of the Son of God after the flesh. Think about it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He knows how to clean something up, doesn't He? Amen. So, you have this bloodline here. And I'm telling you, there is power in the blood to save the vilest sinner. It doesn't make any difference what that person has done if they come in true repentance to God. And by the way, you don't repent to a priest. Can a priest absolve your sin? They try and do it all the time, don't they? Money in the box? Light the votive candles? No, no. You know, did you know that the Vatican claims in canon law that the power of the priest is the same as the power of Jesus Christ to forgive sin? That is their doctrine, and that is false doctrine. Only God can forgive sins. But if you come unto Him as your great high priest, and you truly repent and turn away from the sin, He not only forgives, He forgets. It doesn't exist anymore. The Bible says it'll never be mentioned to you in the judgment. It is absolutely gone. And if that doesn't make you rejoice, I don't know what would. Praise God to have your sins washed away. You might say, how can God forget? He chooses to forget. Scripture tells us that God has a sea. I don't know if you can use your imagination. I can't imagine how this works, but He has a sea of forgetfulness where He casts all of that in. And the Bible says if you stay faithful to Him, that will never, ever be brought up in the judgment. What is there is the blood of Jesus that covers all things. Aren't you glad for the power of the blood? When Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary and that blood ran from His body, He put an end to all animal sacrifice. He put an end to all of the old ritual, never to be used again. Never! And these people who want to rebuild this temple and You know, any true Christian, whether they be Jew or Gentile, understands that the sacrifice has already been made. You can't go back and do the other again. How do we know that? If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it'll tell you God's law is this. First, that which is natural. After that, that which is spiritual. It never goes back to the natural again. He had a temple for His people. Now He has His people for a temple. And there is that scarlet rope, that scarlet thread. The blood of Jesus is there. It continued on to Calvary, past Calvary, right up to this very day. And you can lay hold upon it, and it'll bring the same saving power upon you and your household, your children, your loved ones. It's that power is there to save. Whew, glory to God. I believe it. Amen. You see, some people say, well, you know, yeah, you can get to that blood. All you got to do is just say you believe it. Just accept the Lord and say you believe it. And that's all there is to it. Nothing more. What did the Apostle Peter say on the day of Pentecost when people asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Have you ever read it in Acts chapter 2? That big question, and I do mean big question, was asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? Why did they ask it? Conviction came upon them. The Spirit of God came over them. Peter had preached. Remember the one who denied the Lord thrice? But now, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. The weakness was gone. The strength and power of God, that surging power from heaven, that dunamos, that virtue. Dunamos is another Greek word from which you get the word dynamite or dynamo or dynamic. That power was there. And he was preaching on the day of Pentecost and conviction set in and they felt like they needed to do something. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And of course the answer was given in Acts chapter 2 verse 38 when the Apostle Peter answered that question. And I thank God over and over and over that it wasn't Billy Graham standing there giving the answer. Because he would have said nothing. It was all done for you. Just raise your hand, close your eyes, and accept. What did Peter say? And the answer he gave, having the keys to the kingdom, is the same answer today. How do I know that? Because we are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. When was it delivered? On the day of Pentecost, when the power of God came down. That's when it was delivered. Where did the church start? The Baptists say it started in the Jordan River with John the Baptist. That didn't start the church. Jesus hadn't even died yet. The church started on the day of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of the Ingathering. That's when it started. That's the beginning point. What was the question asked? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said this, repent! One word sermon, until you've done that, nothing else works. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Folks, we live in a generation that's on their way to hell. They're sleepwalking straight to hell. Come on. That's the second title of the message. Sleepwalking to hell. And I'll get into a verse for that in just a minute. But first, let me tell you that we need the name of Jesus Christ. You know, we had a young man in the congregation here coming here for a while, and he tried to change the doctrine on me. Came here from Hawaii and lived in Colorado for a while, then came here and trying to change the doctrine on me. He said, you don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name. He said, by bringing people in here and helping them come here to baptize them in Jesus' name, you're wasting all that money. It's a waste. Isn't that what Judas said about the alabaster box? Whence then is this waste? I'll tell you what, you're not wasting money when you help somebody come in to get baptized in Jesus' name. And I'll put the whole world on notice. And anybody who ever wants to come here, fine and dandy, but don't ever try to change the doctrine, because you're going to have a war on your hands. I contend for the right doctrine. Come on. He said, you can be baptized in the titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, just as valid. Where's the name? You see, there's something we must remember. People say, well, I can get to the blood other ways. Jesus said, anybody tries to come up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. Acts 4:12 says, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you want to escape hell and get to heaven, you need the name of Jesus Christ, by which you will receive the power of the blood and by which you will be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. It comes through the name. Try and cast out devils and titles sometimes. See what they do to you. Some people come along and say, oh, Jesus, you shouldn't say Jesus because that isn't really his name, you know. I've read articles saying that's like saying Zeus or these things. You would just like to, you know, well, you'd like to squeeze the cider out of their Adam's apple, you know. These people, they just don't get it. You know why? They're sleepwalking right to hell. Did you know that the only way to get to the blood is through the name? That the blood answers to the name Jesus. That's why the devil hates it. That's why the Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Because if you do, the blood answers to the name. You're treading it underfoot. Remember, when God told them to put the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel of the door on the night of the Passover, He didn't tell them to put it on the threshold, because you don't walk on the blood. You don't tread the blood of the Son of God underfoot. But we have to understand that the blood answers to the name. How do I prove that? Thought you'd never ask. Let's go over to the book of Acts for a minute. In chapter 5. And here the apostles got in big trouble for preaching in the name. I get in trouble for preaching in the name. I've had people tell me, don't preach in the name of Jesus. I've been different places. You know, it's amazing to me how people can be so deranged spiritually. But they are. And I've had all kinds of things told to me. No, you don't want to use the name Jesus. Can't use the name Jesus. Watch what happens here. It says in the 22nd verse of Acts 5, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. You know why? God let them out. Locks are no problem for the Lord. Amen. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. They had to stifle it, had to stop it. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. If God is in it, nothing will stop it. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, watch this now, saying, did not we straitly, it means strictly, straight there means strict, confined, like the Strait of Gibraltar, or the Bering Strait, a narrow, narrow, narrow passage. Strict, straight. Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? They didn't care what they taught, but don't use that name. Why? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. The name would bring the blood. The name brings the blood upon the repentant unto salvation. And the name brings the blood unto judgment for those that reject Him, for those that curse Him, for those that blaspheme Him. The power of the blood is there. Always in the name, the blood answers to the name. No wonder the devil's got people, ministers, with little collars and robes, throwing a little water on the babies and saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There's no power in that, enough power in that to blow your hat off. Come on. The power's in the name. The name must be spoken or you're not baptized. Because you don't have the power of the blood until you have the power of the name. These men said, you're going to bring His blood upon us using that name. Oh, when you use the name in faith. In faith, the power of the blood prevails and comes upon you. It'll heal every sickness through the stripes that were placed upon His back. It will lift you up out of the depth of sin by the crown that was placed upon His head, that crown of thorns that He wore for us with the rivulets of blood, little scarlet threads, as it were, running down His face. There's power in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to take away your sin, to cleanse you, to make a new person out of you, to change your life. God doesn't do anything halfway. Come on. Amen. God is never late with anything either. Some people just think He is. You know why? Because God doesn't answer to time. Time answers to God. And He's always on time. He's the keeper of time. And everything He does is precision. Isn't it amazing how He saves? Here, I'll give you another little example. I heard there's a Baptist minister one time. I'm not trying to just pick on the Baptists. It's just they're so high profile. No, I don't mean to be obnoxious. I hope you don't perceive me to be that. But this Baptist minister said, it costs $37.50 to save a soul. We counted all the decisions for Christ last year, figured up what came in, divided it up, and it costs $37.50 to save a soul. So how many souls do you want to save, and how much will you give? And then that pastor goes out and gets in his Lincoln and drives. You know how many souls you put in hell by driving that Lincoln? Huh? When you think of it that way, it doesn't cost $37.50 to save a soul. It takes the blood of Jesus. We're not redeemed with worldly, corrupt things like silver and gold. Come on. Besides that, how do they factor in inflation? How about the exchange rates? How about arbitrage? You realize what could happen when you start doing things by simony, which means to buy a gift of God with money? It doesn't work like that. Oh, no. These people are walking, they're sleepwalking into hell. They're sleepwalking into hell. Here we see that it's the blood that saves, and the blood answers to the name. Go back with me now for a moment to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Where Jesus began to speak to a religious, elitist group of leaders. A group of religious leaders, highly respected. The people all feared them. They had the popular religion of the day. Now, when I say popular, let me define my terms. Popular doesn't mean it's liked. Popular doesn't mean something is liked. It means it's accepted. Let me give you an example. Income tax is very popular. Is it liked? In fact, we all have an inherent right to hate taxes. But it's popular because people do it. So it means it's accepted. You know, this popular religion I'm talking to you about, the religion of the Pharisees, was actually despised by the people because they knew they were being used. They knew they were being set up, but they didn't have anything else. They didn't know which way to turn or what to do. Much like today with people, they don't know what to do. They can see the churches are corrupt. There's something wrong when the televangelist has got a $40,000 toilet, like Joyce Meyer, or if there's a Kenneth Copeland and he's got a string of about 10 Cadillacs. Isn't there something wrong there somewhere? And they get up and give political endorsements? I don't think that a man of God can do that. We're called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Speaking of that, though, I'll tell you this much. Over in the Middle East and in Europe, they're watching the United States in amazement. They look at our country and they see the Obama mania going on. You know, if that man becomes the president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, you're going to find out in short order that he is a Muslim. Not only a Muslim, he is a Muslim extremist. He went to a school in Jakarta, Indonesia, and that school was a school for Muslim extremists. He went 2 years to a Catholic school, and that didn't do him any good. But he went the rest of the time to a Muslim extremist school. And then eventually he joined the United Church of Christ. Does that fix anything? If anything, that digs another hole deeper into the problem. But over in Europe and the Middle East, people are talking, and they all know he's a Muslim. People hear it say, oh, no, 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 no. His wife says the biggest problem he has is his middle name, Hussein. And that could bother some people, but it doesn't seem to be. The women are all falling over and fainting when they look at him. They pull their hair, tears run down their face, just like when Ed Sullivan brought the Beatles over, remember? Did you ever see the crowd screaming and, ah, you know, pulling their hair and tears running down their face and just crumpling under him? And if he becomes the president, you will have an abomination. And it will be abominable. And you're going to see left-wing Muslim extremism such as you couldn't have imagined. Why is this happening? People are walking in their sleep straight to hell. Watch this. And you're going to find this message is going to move through another phase, I believe, and then back to the scarlet cord once again. But in Luke 11, Jesus is talking to this elitist group here, and he says, and the Lord said unto him, Luke 11, 39, and the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. What if you did your dishes that way and never washed the insides, the bowls, the cups, just the outside? That looks, the inside doesn't show until you look into it, right? Imagine what that cupboard would look like and smell like before long. Come on. So you got to wash the inside. Ye fools! Here's Jesus talking. Ye fools! Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. So he's saying, woe unto you, now they tithe, but what don't they do? He says, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. He's saying, yes, you should do what you're doing, but you're leaving out the most important part. And your motive is wrong. He says, woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! What's a hypocrite? A play actor. I think I'd mentioned here a few times, in case somebody didn't hear this, when I worked at UW Oshkosh, I would have various intercampus mail sent to my office, and one was from the Frederick March Theater, in their official newsletter for their plays and things they'd put on. The newsletter was called The Hypocrite. And the first time I saw it, I looked at it and thought, what? Where'd they get this from? And then it hit me. Yeah, that's an actor. And then they had a little explanation underneath that hypocrite means actor. Do you know that Hollywood is full of hypocrites? Do you know how many stars, including Madonna and some of these others, wear a cross around their neck? Have you ever noticed that? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as, watch this now, as graves which appear not. And the men that walk over them are not aware of them. They're walking over graves that don't show. There's no marker for the grave. There's people buried under there, and they're walking over the top of them. He's saying, you are like that. He's comparing people to that. You are like unmarked graves. And people don't know where they're walking when they follow you. The blind lead the blind, and what happens? They all fall in the ditch. This is our society today, primarily in the realm of so-called Christianity. There is a brainwashing of Satan in the pulpits today, where people will take all this error and they'll follow after. You know, there are some ministers that will get up and preach the Republican Party and not mention the gospel. I've got a problem with that, folks. We need Jesus Christ. And we need to believe in Him and have confidence in Him. Because, boy, they don't give you much choice out there, do they? But He's in charge. I know He'll take us through. We're coming into some very perilous times. What will be, will be. But the Spirit of God will lead us through it. Israel had light in their dwellings. And when you get down to the last plagues, we're going to meet our Lord in the air as He pours out His judgment upon this, the final judgments upon this world. He is going to slam this world such as it had never seen. I'm telling you, the sky is going to be filled with the angels of God. So says the Word. We're not appointed under wrath, folks. But we're going through some of it right now. But when the last final wrath of God is poured out, you and I will be safe in His hands. Why? Because we've got a hold of a scarlet thread that you can let out of the window of your soul, and God will see it. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, I want to read a little further and come back to 44 and focus on that for a minute. Then answered one of the lawyers. Oh boy, here's the Bar Association coming along now. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. It's always like a lawyer to complain, you know. They're very sensitive people. All those must be all those lawyer jokes going around. You know, like what's the difference between a skunk getting hit in the road and a lawyer getting hit in the road? And of course the answer is there's skid marks in front of the skunk. But all these, so they get real sensitive, you know. Real sensitive. And it says, then answered one of the lawyers, oh, you're reproaching us. And he said, notice his answer. He said, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean, no. And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne. Did you ever see one of their bills? $500 an hour? And for what? Anyway, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Lawyers don't lose. They always get paid. That's like doctors bury their mistakes. Don't they? Anyway. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. And that, of course, is the abomination that Israel committed that made them desolate. The killing of the prophets, the rejection of the Word of God, is the abomination of desolation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers! He says it again. For ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. Isn't that amazing? And it provoked them to great anger. And they kept trying to get him to say more and more. They wanted to catch something out of the mouth of the Son of God. Not because they wanted to hear him for edification. They wanted to find some accusation against him. You know, I want something out of the mouth of God too, but for a whole different reason. I love to hear from him. Don't you? God does speak to our souls. He really does. If you'll listen, you'll hear him. He has a voice within you because that's where his spirit is. He'll speak to you. Ask him. Not as some ambiguous power way off in the distance somewhere. He's with us. He said, not only with us, he said, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. And you can communicate with your Savior. And he'll show you the right way. And when he speaks, you'll know it's right because it'll always agree with the written word 100%. I've heard people say, oh, God told me this and God told me that. And what I got from above. Well, they must have been standing on their head when they got it. Because I know God didn't tell them that. But his word is the measuring device. All things are measured by the Word of God, by the Scripture. But notice verse 44, I'd mentioned that we'd focus on that for a minute. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, he said, for ye are as graves, which appear not, unmarked, undetected graves. That they're like that. These people are like unmarked graves. In what way? It says, and men walk over them and are not aware of them. Do you ever see these sleepwalkers, you know? Walking around and they don't know what they're doing or where they're going. And they say nervousness causes that. I don't think nervousness causes sleepwalking. If nervousness caused sleepwalking, I'd be going through Australia right now. The pressures that I've got. But anyway, I think it's a spiritual thing. But these people walk around and they don't know what's going on. They're oblivious. They're walking. They don't know where they're walking. He talks about people walking over graves, unmarked graves. People that are in these religions and in these various things, and they develop belief systems and all that, and they believe with the politician. Never believe a politician. Every one of them's got two hats, one to wear in his head and one to talk through. Do you ever notice they'll say all these things and everything you want to hear? Then they get in, and oh boy. I was talking to this banker the other day, and I said, you know, when Franklin Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt was a character too. He used horoscopes all the time. But anyway, Franklin Roosevelt, 32nd degree Mason, 32nd president, got up one time on the radio. He always had these fireside chats. Anybody remember hearing about that? Roosevelt's fireside chats, those were coded messages to the communists out there that he worked with. And of course, toward the end there, he knew so much that they had to kill him. Did you know Roosevelt was assassinated? He was down in Warm Springs at what was called the Little White House. That was his retreat. He was sitting there and an artist was painting him, doing a painting, oil painting of him. When he got through with the painting, he took out a gun and put a bullet right through Roosevelt's head. But they never showed his body. They had it in a closed casket in the rotunda in the White House, or in the Capitol building, rather. And they told the people he died of a massive cerebral hemorrhage. Well, he did, but bullets can cause that. See? But when Roosevelt was still alive, he got on the radio nationwide and said, our dollar is sagging. There's no confidence in it anymore. We have to bolster the dollar and give people confidence in it so they believe in the dollar. He said, I need all Americans to turn in all of their gold to the bank. And you'll be given certificates, paper money, for 90 days, and then you can have it back. It was estimated that over 90% of the people turned in their gold. Once they had turned it in, Roosevelt signed into law a bill that he himself had drafted, making it a felony for anybody to even request it back. If you went to the bank and said, I want my gold, you were put in federal prison for at least 5 years for even requesting it, and then he doubled the price of it. But people forget, don't they? And when Kennedy was president, and Pentagon press agent Arthur Sylvester got up on the Huntley-Brinkley report. Anybody remember them? Good night, Chet. Good night, David. The Huntley-Brinkley report, remember? And Arthur Sylvester said, the government has the right to lie to the people. The people, well, yeah, that's the way the government is. Everybody knows the government. Everybody, nobody will admit it, see, but, and this is true of any people, the enemy of any people is always its own government. I don't have any problem with the Chinese people or the German people or the Japanese people or any of these people. It's the governments that are always the enemy of the people. So you might say, oh, that sounds terrible. Who takes things away from you? Who puts all this pressure on you? All of these oppressive things. Who's watching you all the time? Isn't it something over in Europe they took down the borders in 9 countries? You don't need a passport anymore. Over here you've got to have one to get to Canada and back. Everything is tight, 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 tight. We got to listen to your telephone. We got to watch you. You're in a panopticon. You don't know who's watching, but we're watching you. Remember that symbol of the Illuminati, that all-seeing eye above the pyramid? Oh yeah, that's not Christian. That's Masonic and it's illuministic. That there is a cycloptic single eye watching all the time to make sure that you don't step out of line. Right? This is reality, folks. But you know, God is in charge, and all of these things must come to pass. Our dollar is crumbling. Our economy is literally in shambles and getting worse. Every day, I look at the news and I follow it closely. Every day is setting new lows. Now they're going to cut the interest rate again. And what do they do when it gets down to zero like it did in 1929? Then the bottom falls out. They keep cutting the rate and cutting the rediscount rate, and before long they can't cut it anymore because you get down to zero and then you're in a free fall. What are you going to do? The euro is worth nearly $1.53 now. It surpassed $1.52. Gold hit $1,000 per ounce. And silver, I think it's 19. I remember when it was 5, not that long ago. What's going on? The paper confetti that we have is worth less and less all the time. In Europe, they look and they can't believe it. They see our country just literally being swallowed up. And now our government gave a big Boeing contract, countless millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, to a French company to make certain types of things for us, aircraft and so forth, that Boeing would have made. And this goes on and on and on because the people that are sitting in Washington, remember this, back in the 60s, what did people do in college? A smoke with a toke. Huh? Get all buzzed in the head? Have a little lysergic acid diethylamide? LSD? Invented by our CIA for mind control. There are a lot of people, and Obama admitted, he said, yeah, I smoked pot and I did some other things. And he even admitted that he inhaled. Clinton said he never inhaled. He just blew it out right away. That made it okay. See, you light up a joint and you spit it out right away. Didn't inhale. Okay. Anyway, what did these people do back in college? As they were going to Harvard and Yale and Princeton, all these Ivy League schools. And what did they do? They'd light up a joint. They'd drop some acid. They'd try this or that or the other thing. Now they're sitting in government offices and their brain is still half blown away. This Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader, he was showing people around his house. And there he had Grateful Dead posters all over. He said they were his heroes. Grateful Dead? Jerry Garcia? Come on. And he's running our, you know, and I got a picture of, and a lot of people are going to ask me for this, and it's in my files. I'd have to dig it out. There is a coffee table in this big government room where they're all meeting together, Harry Reid and Nasty Pelosi and these various ones sitting there. And on the table, there are two lines of cocaine. That didn't come from a powdered sugar donut. You can see right where the little glass tube went and plowed a little furrow through this white powder, this cocaine. They were snorting it in there. They're still doing this stuff, and they're running the country. Nancy Reagan said that her husband always consulted the astrologers before he made any decision. This is Babylon, folks. Just so you know. Of course, there's a big problem with drought. There's a big problem with weird weather. We've had earthquakes all over the place. England had an earthquake, a rare one, over in the Manchester area. They said it's millions and millions of pounds of damage. These houses are rattled so much the walls and ceilings fell down. But that doesn't matter, because as long as Brittany isn't in the mental hospital anymore, as long as she's out, why, you know, everything's okay, see? Or Paris Hilton. I don't even know much about these people and don't want to. I just know people are all wound up in this kind of stuff. And over in China, Red China, in Beijing, you know, there's so much demand for water over there, and it's in such short supply that they're trying to divert water from the people that need it and bring it in for this big Olympics that's going to go on. Olympics always happens on a leap year and on a presidential election year because of occult purposes. And of course, they go out on Mount Olympus, and that priestess, dressed like a priestess of Zeus, holds up the sacred flame to be ignited by the rays of the sun god, and they ignite, and then it has to go all the way around the world. Even James Dobson carried it for a while. That fixes it right up, doesn't it? This occult torch, the torch of illuminism is what they used to call it. Remember the Standard Oil used to have that torch? You expect more from Standard and you get it? Huh? Oh, you got it all right. And they take that all the way around the world, and then they go and they light the sacred cauldron in Red China. But what has happened now, and they don't know what to do about it, is the entire river system in China has turned red. And they said, the Chinese government said, it's because of pollution. No, it's the hand of God. Pollution? Sin pollution, yeah. And I'm saying the water's probably dirty, but it's never turned red before. And it's bright red, the whole water system. That's what God thinks of the Olympics. And He's not finished yet. Plagues and trouble and tribulation are at the very doors. And people are sleepwalking to hell. They're walking over graves that do not appear. And everywhere under them there is a grave. I tell people sometimes, hell is everywhere beneath you. And it's a real place, not just a condition of the mind. And anybody in hell right now would give anything they had to have a place where you're sitting. Anything, but it's impossible. Notice something. I've only got minutes left. Back in Isaiah, chapter 28, it says this, verse 10, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people." What is the stammering lips and the other tongue? Remember Pentecost? I know that's gotten a lot of bad press because of the charismaniacs, but there's still a genuine gift of God, isn't there? The apostles weren't charismaniacs. All right? He says, to whom He said, "This is the rest." Isaiah 28:12 says that those stammering lips and the other tongue, it says, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. They're obstinate. They're resistant. We will not listen to that. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. But notice what they do. It says that for those that resist, that said we would not hear, that they might go and fall backward, slain in the spirit. God doesn't slay anybody in His spirit. You don't fall backward if God is dealing with you. You might fall on your face or fall down on your knees and pray, but you won't fall backwards. I guarantee you that right now. It's a sign that you are broken and snared and taken. And then he says, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. Can you imagine being in agreement with hell and having a covenant with death in a religious framework? Talk about signing up with the devil. And that's what churches have done. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, they say. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And he goes on and tells about Jesus who would come as the chief cornerstone, and he would disannul all of what they had built up. Praise God for that. So where are we with this? What does this all mean? People are sleepwalking over graves. They don't know what's under. They're not aware. They're not awake. They're moving through life, but they're not awake. Only the gospel can wake them up. The Apostle Paul said, it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. God's able to wake people up. When that centurion, you know, all these people stood around Jesus hanging on the cross. They were walking around wagging their heads. He saved others himself. He cannot save. Come down off the cross. All kinds of things going on, right? Every demon was there. But at the very end, Patronus took off his helmet, silver helmet, and laid it down and said, truly, this was the Son of God. He woke up. He came awake. He understood. The thief that was on the right side woke up. It's possible to wake up. Wake up and see what's going on. I get letters, hundreds and hundreds of letters all the time saying, since we've been listening to the tapes and reading our Bibles and praying, you've helped us to see things, and now we see it everywhere. One person wrote in one time and said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I can see all this now. I say, well, it was there before you saw it. And what you're going to do is you're going to pray and follow God and fight the devil and live for God. And what we're going to do is let down that scarlet cord. Why? Because in Revelation 10, it tells us in the sixth verse, I'll read the fifth verse with it. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And what is the mystery of God? That the Gentiles, it tells us in Ephesians, the Gentiles would come into the same commonwealth of Israel, and the Jews and Gentiles all would be one people in Jesus Christ, that once they're all in and all together as the new Israel of God, once that's completed, it's over, folks. Then there is no more time. When that seventh angel sounds, it's done. You see, back in the days of Jericho, they marched around Jericho seven times. One time each day, and the seventh day, seven times, and the trumpet sounded, and the city fell down flat. This time, it's not Jericho. This time, it's the entire world. And this time, it's not the children of Israel, it's the angels of God that hold the trumpets. And they are going around this world, and I'm convinced they're doing it right now. And around this world, and when that last trumpet sounds, it's all going to come down like it did in Jericho. But if you've got the scarlet cord, if you have that in your soul, the blood of Jesus Christ, you will be safe. Praise God. Call your friends, call your relatives, call your children and your grandchildren, whoever, and let them know about the power of the scarlet cord, because this world is slated for destruction. The Bible says the cities of the nations fell. Not one of them, but all of them. Amen. That's where we're at this morning. That's where we are, living in a world full of people sleepwalking their way to hell. And yet we know, because we've been visited by the Spirit of God, we know that we must lay hold upon the scarlet cord, the blood of Jesus. Because when this all comes down, that's the only thing you've got to hold on to. And it is sufficient and more than sufficient to bring you right on through. God will take care of you. You will be in the palm of His hand. Folks, the knowledge of this is ubiquitous as far as this world is going down. I realize most people are sleepwalking and don't know it, but it's going down. Anybody with two brain cells clicking together, even two, have to know something's up. Out there in Las Vegas, they found this. Did you ever notice? And then you got in southern Florida, half of the state goes dark. They get on the radio. Within 3 minutes, they're saying, it wasn't terrorism, wasn't terrorism. How do you know in 3 minutes it wasn't? Do you smell a rat? Power outage in Texas. Same thing. Go over to Las Vegas. They find this guy in a hotel with vials of ricin, a deadly poison, and a book on anarchy and other weapons and so forth. They said, it was not terrorism. It's not terrorism. We ruled that out. See, they have to think for you because you're too dumb to understand anything. That's why they have editorials. You're not supposed to think. They'll tell you what to think. Here's a book on terrorism, and it's not terrorism. Here is a rare, powerful poison, so powerful that the amount that you could fit on the head of a stick pin will kill you within hours. If you eat it, you're dead in 8 hours for sure, because it attacks all the systems of your body. You develop flu-like symptoms, bloody diarrhea, vomiting. If you ingest it through the air, your lungs fill up with fluid and you suffocate and you die. So what's he doing with that? Ricin is actually made from when you produce castor oil. From the castor oil is big bean pods. They squeeze the oil out. And they have to be very careful how they make it, because ricin is found in the pods of the castor bean. And it is one of the most, other than prussic acid, it is the most deadly poison known to man, ruling out radioactive things from the actinide and lanthanide series. It is deadly poison. So what's he doing with all that? It's enough. He had enough there to poison the whole water supply of part of California, Nevada, the whole area. But it's not terrorism. Oh, no. These are perilous times, folks. What's next, dare we ask? I do know this, and what keeps me going is, and nobody's going to ever push me off the track, because I'm holding so tightly on that scarlet cord, because I see the angels of God surrounding this world with trumpets, and they're going to fill the skies very soon. When that last one sounds, we rise to meet Him in the air. And then we've got the seven last plagues in rapid succession, literally tearing this world to shreds. Where will you be when the last trumpet sounds? Do you have hold of the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus? The scarlet cord, are you in the bloodline? Like Rahab was. You see? Are you in Israel today? In the Israel of God? We have that cord. We are awakened. You know what? We may be walking on graves that do not appear, but we know they're there. We're walking in unmarked territory. They hide everything from us, don't they? They hide it all, but we know it's there. I know when I'm walking on a grave because the Lord reveals it. And these religions and processes of governmental institutions and all the activities of Antichrist, these are sepulchers, and people aren't even aware of what they're walking on. God, help us to hold on to the scarlet cord. Father in heaven, we're so thankful this morning, O Lord, that Thou hast given us the understanding in Thy Word of what we must do. And truly, these are the days when men and women must call upon Thee with all their hearts and not stop or cease for a moment in seeking Thee, O God, for the Holy Ghost. This should be our greatest desire, to be filled with Thy Spirit, O Lord. And now I pray for everyone in the hearing of my voice in this auditorium and all around this whole wide world, for thousands of these messages go out and over the internet and are mailed out. O Lord, I pray that every person listening would truly seek Thee, would truly repent and come unto Thee and be baptized in Thy name, be filled with Thy Spirit, and to lay hold upon that scarlet cord, for Thine angels truly are about to sound. And this time, Lord, it's not just Jericho, but the entire world, the cities of the nations fell. Be Thou with us, O God. Help us, for we love Thee and we love Thy Word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.